Do you think that this is the end of the mall chain stores?
As a matter of fact, I do, actually. So I've been, you know, going shopping with the wife recently a few times. I'm trying to be more patient and understanding when it comes to shopping with my wife, Anna. Mm. And clothes shopping is difficult, but I definitely see a difference in the amount of stores that are out there. One of the malls that we used to go to, like the one that's like 10 minutes from my house, mm-hmm. it's like a ghost town now.
Yeah.
There's like nothing left in there. I'm pretty sure they're thinking about selling it to a hospital.
Yeah, they actually opened a newer mall near me and it's fantastic. Mm. But, you know, I think it depends where you are. But like, you know, I walk into a mall and there's some stores you just expect to see like from your childhood. Like, where's Claire's? Where's Sam Goody? Where are all these places?
And a lot of them don't. They are gone.
They're gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if you come across them every once in a while, it's like, you know, it's like such a nostalgic thing. But you know what I realized, Raven? The real thing I miss about malls is the food court. Like, give me a Cinnabon. Like, where else can you just go get Cinnabons? You can't, like, you can't just get them anywhere anymore, I feel like.
The bite-sized little pretzels in all sorts of different flavors.
Well, my mall still has that, so thank God.
One of those little shaker cars shaped like either a helicopter or a pony or something like that off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good time back in the day. I know that Chinese food isn't considered Chinese food, but it's still delicious.
Where am I going to get my personalized Christmas ornaments? The one where they write on it with the black marker.
I know. Right? We do the same thing. Nowhere else in the world does anybody have steady hands like that.
Hot Topic. Remember Hot Topic? That was in a lot of malls. I think there still may be a bunch of them out there. But I remember that like it was one of those stores that my mom didn't want me to go into because it always had shirts with bad words on it or
yes.
things that were inappropriate. And I would have to sneak in there. And I felt so cool when I was a teenager that I could go into a Hot Topic and buy something and then immediately hide it from my family.
Exactly the same store. It's still there.
Goosebumps. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
At some point over the last week, we were talking about nap shaming. And we found that a lot of people nap shame each other. Both Raven and I have been victims of nap shaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've spent most of my adult life incredibly sleep deprived between the kids and having babies and,
sure.
you know, getting up for work at 3:30 in the morning and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking about it, and it's like, why are we always so quick to call people that nap lazy? Maybe they're just tired. Right?
Well, we've got different times. Mm-hmm. We've got different schedules. So the time that you wake up, the time that you're most awake and, you know, at your best during the day is obviously going to be different than the person that, you know, you run into, any other person that you run into. And if it's a partner, I guess it just gets annoying because you're bored at certain times.
Yeah. So we're pushing the movement to end nap shaming and
please
talk about all the good things about naps and how it restores you and makes you feel better. Except, according to the expert, there's only two durations that are appropriate for a nap. Now, you're going to be the judge as to whether or not this is correct.
All right.
Now, did you ever take a nap and you wake up and you feel terrible? Turns out there's a reason for that.
When you wake up after a nap and you feel like you just got hit by a truck, it's because what has happened is you started to build what's called sleep inertia. So once you start sleeping, after you get past a certain point, your brain gets into the mode that thinks, oh, we're doing this for the next 8 hours. And if you interrupt it after it's gotten past that point, it's sort of a rude awakening.
Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. If I ever sleep a full 8 hours, like all the way through 8 hours, it was a heck of a night. And I'm nearly dead, and somebody should put a mirror under my nose to just make sure that I'm breathing. Because even on my worst nights, mm-hmm. I mean, 7 hours is more than enough for me.
Do you want to... So when I am my most rested and I feel my best, I kid you not, I sleep 9.5 hours at night.
I mean, that seems excessive.
It's
to
only
me.
On the weekends. I'll still go to bed on the weekends at like 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then sleep till like 7 o'clock the next morning.
Wow.
And I feel like I could wake up and I could conquer the world. I think that I would be president of the United States if I could sleep like that every single night.
I mean, I know that math isn't your strong suit, but 7:30 to 7 the next day is 11.5 hours.
Oh, no, sometimes
it's
I could
not
do that
9
too.
Hours.
I could do that too.
Yeah.
But all right, so how long should you be napping during the day if you're going to take a nap?
Mm.
That's why when you nap, you should actually nap either a very short nap, 20 or 30 minutes, or setting an alarm for a 90-minute nap. A 90-minute nap is enough time for you to go through an entire sleep cycle, not long enough for you to build a lot of sleep inertia, but enough time for you to actually get some of the benefits of sleeping.
I mean, is he typing in the middle of talking?
Yeah, he's very busy. He's prioritizing his typing over napping. But anyway.
Over this interview segment?
Yes. All right, you're going to take a nap, Raven.
Yeah.
How long is your typical perfect nap?
2 hours. Because here's the thing. If I set the clock for...
That's why you're like sleeping 7 hours.
If I set the clock for 90 minutes, what if it takes me 20 minutes to actually fall asleep? Now I feel like I didn't get my full 90 minutes.
Oh
all
my
right?
gosh, Raven. That's the reason why you're not sleeping a full amount at night. You're sleeping too much during the day.
No.
So for me, it's not 20 to 30 minutes or 90 minutes. It's 1 hour. If I could get a magic... I call it the magic hour.
Yes.
If I can have a magic hour in the middle of the day, mm-hmm. then I can fly like a bird, an eagle. I could soar. But...
I mean... It's again, I go to bed at like 10, 10:30.
Well, see,
so it's not because I took a nap. It's just because I'm an idiot when it comes to that.
I have been prioritizing my sleep lately and going mm-hmm. to bed even earlier. And I'll tell you, I feel like a new woman, almost to the point I don't need naps anymore. So I've read a lot of articles saying prioritizing your sleep is important. And maybe that's something we should all do.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you crazy? 1-800-330-9999. I don't understand. I don't even want to say it's all I need to know about you. I'm just confused. If you leave one strand of Christmas lights up and it's the middle of March... That's all I need to know about you.
Where are they located? So where are these lights?
It's my neighbors. And, like, they're nice, normal people. So I don't understand. They took down all the Christmas decorations except for one tree that lines the driveway, right? Mm. But it's not the full tree. It's only half the tree. It's, like, maybe one strand, two strands.
Yeah.
I would say it's two strands
okay.
because one keeps blinking and the other does not.
So that answers my question. So they're still lighting it at times?
No, every single night.
Yeah. Have you considered the fact that it might actually be for lighting purposes?
No.
Do they have, like, a lamp over there or anything like that? They need some extra iridescence?
No.
Incandescent lighting?
It's a random tree along the driveway. Like, it doesn't actually serve a purpose. And every time I think, like, oh, at first, for, like... January and February, I'm like, they must have just missed it. They must have just missed it. But at this point, don't you realize that you have, like, just these two strands that are the only ones that are left? That's all I need to know about you.
The upper gutters on my house, I still have one strand on the upper gutter of my house because it's really high. And you don't want to go out there during the wintertime. But, I mean, I'll be taking it down. No, I don't take it. I don't turn it on, and I'll be taking it down, actually, this weekend.
These are on every single night. And, like, clearly they've made an effort to turn these on. It doesn't. It's not like a magic, right? Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Speaking of neighbors, if you're confused as to whether or not it's a balloon or your toilet paper, wrapper in your neighbor's tree. That's all I need to know about you. Real windy over the last week or so. I don't know what's up with this wind, but it's been windy. And a couple times it's knocked over my big recycle bin and I found stuff like in the bushes. And I'm never that guy that, you know, my trash is out and, you know, blowing down the street or whatever. Everybody's trash seems to blow into my yard. But I'm sitting in the backyard yesterday with the dogs and I'm looking up and in my neighbor's tree, and these are giant trees, 80, 100 feet tall. I see this big orange circle, and I'm not sure whether or not it's somebody's happy birthday balloon mm-hmm. or it's the wrapper for the Super Comfort Scott's toilet paper. I'm not sure. And I mean, my eyes aren't good enough to really tell. Here's the thing. I'm not going up in the tree to get it anyways.
Nobody's going to go.
Trying
to
figure out how far how it got from my trash barrel to there. And there is a path. I'm not saying it wasn't fraught with danger, but there's a path that it could have made it there. So it's possible that's my trash.
It lives there now.
It might.
It lives there.
It might.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
When people say it is what it is, that drives me crazy.
Well, that's Anna's favorite thing over the last year or so, actually.
Raven gets so mad when I say it.
My father used to say it.
He rolls his eyes every single time, even when we're on the air. But, like, I don't know what else you're supposed to say.
How about saying nothing?
I mean, you have to, like, okay, like, well, let us accept the situation at hand. Is that better? Let us accept the world as it has become.
I mean, I guess if you varied with that.
These are the cards that have been dealt.
Okay.
We will play them.
All right.
It is what it is.
I mean,
Hey, right?
See, here we are, back to where we began.
Uh-huh. I'm still not sure, Raven, if this is excellent marketing or just plain dumb. So Doja Cat, right? She was talking about how Taco Bell had basically contractually obligated her to write a jingle for their Mexican pizza. Mm-hmm. Here she is.
But I have to do a jingle. They want me to rap about Mexican pizza. Just know, it's contractual. I know it's bad.
All right. So she talked about how this is so bad, right? That she's going to have to do this and all that. And we talked about this last week. So she finally released the jingle, and here it is.
Yes, I eat, I eat, I eat. I like my pizza with refried beans. Peep my ad, search YouTube. This ain't even Mexican food.
First of all, I was like, what? Get down, Doja Cat.
She's good.
Right.
No matter what she does. And you know what I like about Doja Cat? Lots of different styles. I don't normally sing songs about quesadillas, refried beans, and Mexican pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But it's relatively catchy.
Yep. You want to hear the hook on it?
Please.
Mexican pizza is the pizza for you and me.
Well, she didn't spend a lot of time on that hook, but either way.
Oh, no, but I like it because I heard it and I was like, Mexican pizza. It was stuck in my head all day yesterday.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to say that the video will be sexy.
It will be sexy if she puts together a video. No, it's literally just her sitting in her like living room looking bored and rapping into a microphone. But
well, that was unexpected.
Producer John, he loves to write songs. He loves to write jingles. So we were like, John, Doja Cat is complaining about writing this. And let's be honest, she got paid probably a ton of money to do it.
Ton of money.
Yeah. So producer John wrote his own jingle for Taco Bell. Now you're going to decide which is better. Here's his.
If you want something crunchy and cheesy, maybe just a little beefy, with beans and potatoes or nachos, it's easy. Whether you want a soft or a crunchy shell, you can get what you need at your friendly local Taco Bell.
I don't know. Which one do you think is better?
I think the video is going to definitely be hotter. For
Mexican
Doja Cat.
Pizza is the pizza for you and me.
Can't you see it just bouncing?
Yeah.
Like she does that thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to put both these jingles up on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven.
You should put a side-by-side photo also.
Doja Cat.
See how he does with that.
John.
See how he does with the voting on that one.
And then you're going to decide who did the better job of the jingle. But I'll leave you with this.
Mexican pizza is the pizza. Yeah, yeah.
What's up with vanity plates? You know, it's so funny. Every time I come across one, I think to myself, you spent a lot of extra time and you paid extra fees to get that, too, to get this message across. And did it really mean that much? I was walking into my doctor's appointment yesterday and right parked in front, there was a license plate and it said Salsa 94.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, huh.
94 was a great year for salsa, apparently. They had a great time.
But then I was like, is it salsa dancing? Or is it like they just love like chips and salsa?
Like, you have to like, and are they 94 and they continue to salsa dance?
Maybe.
Did they eat 94 bags of Santitas with salsa?
Who knows?
In 94, were they in Punta Cana doing a lot of salsa dancing?
It's like a mystery. And I stuck around in the parking lot for a few minutes just because I wanted to see who got into that car.
Get a glimpse. No. Right. Maybe you could deduce the rest of the story.
I gave up after like 15 minutes. I'm like, I look like a weirdo. Like, it's time to go now.
You know, one thing is certain states obviously charge different fees for, you know, vanity plates. And some states are more expensive, right? So, you know, not even just the ones that they have, you know, the various causes and so forth on them. But some states, I think that they're relatively cheaper. So when you drive in a certain state, you will see an abundance of vanity plates there. And you know that I have certain rules when it comes to vanity plates. You can't put princess on a car that's like a used Camry.
Why?
Like you just because you can't. A princess drives a Rolls Royce. A princess drives a Mercedes. A princess drives something spectacular. They don't drive a Camry. They don't do that. A 94. You know what I mean? Like, they don't do it.
I was like, who sits at the DMV and their job is to reject vanity plates? Because a lot of them get rejected and they don't have to give a reason as to why.
Yeah.
They can just reject whatever they want if they think for any reason it's offensive to anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, right. I mean, vulgar content being aside, that's the other thing, too, with acronyms. You don't even know what you're looking at half the time. You know, you're trying to figure it out.
Right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. You have a vanity plate?
I sure do.
What does it say?
The number 2, SDX.
Too sexy. 2SEXC.
Yeah.
Are you too sexy? Are you indeed too sexy?
Well, I guess way back when, maybe.
See, that I was going to ask that. Like, I mean, because what happens if when you get the plate, you're like, oh, I am definitely 100% too sexy when you first get it. But then after, you know, time goes on, right? The world turns. You know, some of us fade a little bit. I'm fading. Am I still too sexy? I don't know. I would doubt it.
Hey, I'm still beautiful inside and out.
Okay.
All right. Well, a lot longer to put on the license plate.
What are you driving?
Well, initially 30 plus plus years ago when I got the car. It was a Toyota Corolla, a fire engine, a red hot, as they used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm driving a Honda CR-V.
Yeah, so now you're driving like every mom mobile that every person is driving
on
the highway.
Oh, so she can't be too sexy driving a mom mobile? Get out of here.
If you see, let me just, I'll paint you a picture. One Honda CR-V is next to another Honda CR-V at the light. One says too sexy, the other one doesn't say that. Is that one truly sexier than the other one?
They are.
I'm just questioning.
Yeah, this was a sharp CR-V.
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
The face of the American heavyweights.
Pretty good power move there.
There can be only one champion. And now we join Anna and Raven's coverage of the March Madness tournament.
March Madness is underway. While everyone's watching basketball, well, we're crowning the biggest fad of all time, and your votes decide who makes it to the finals. Raven, yesterday was our first upset. The Rachel haircut from Jennifer Aniston and friends lost in a nail biter to the hacky sack.
I mean, I honestly couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
Me too. I thought, like, hands down, like the Rachel haircut, everybody had it if you were like a teenager in that time.
This is what happens to Jennifer Aniston, though, every single time, right? Happened with Brad Pitt, happened with the other dude. This is what happens. You think she's got it locked up, and then all of a sudden people are like, nope, sorry.
Yeah, but the hacky sack. But anyway, the hacky sack is going to make it to the Elite Eight, and now we have the next contender. It's another big matchup. Now, remember, you can vote by calling 1-800-330-9999. Up first, the Macarena. Why must you whistle?
I mean, it's a catchy tune. I'm sorry.
He immediately starts dancing and whistling. Is that what happens to everybody when you hear the Macarena? You just dance and whistle?
Can I just tell you that when pulling the audio for this and looking at the video, it's as creepy now as it was then. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, I mean, these two dudes are like 50, 60 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. And I know what you're doing. You're singing the song to get the girls dancing because that's how you're going to get the ladies at the party.
Right.
But you should leave those ladies alone. They're younger than your daughter. You should leave those ladies alone, fine sirs.
But to this day, anytime the Macarena comes on, I immediately know what to do. And not many people or many dance crazes through the years can say that it's that recognizable that you know what to do. I'd say it's right up there with the YMCA. You know how to do the Macarena, right?
And the electric slide, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's on that short list. You're right.
Right. But the contender, the opponent today, who is going to come out on top? Oh, this was a big fashion statement. Juicy Couture. And here's Paris Hilton talking about it.
In 2000, I was, you know, a New York socialite. I was modeling. I was doing my thing. I just fell in love with the brand and basically became my uniform. I have an entire closet that's only Juicy Couture. It's somewhere I go in every single day and just put on my juice.
Paris Hilton, man. I mean, I know she's grown up a little bit, but she hasn't grown up all that much.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
On my wedding morning,
uh-huh.
I wore a Juicy Couture velvet jumpsuit.
Nice.
Yeah, that was my getting ready outfit, was my Juicy Couture.
Oh, I thought you had like a white one that said like bride or whatever.
Oh, no, I did.
Yeah.
It was white.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
It said bride around the back.
I get it. Yeah. You're not the first person to do it. Everybody was caught up in that.
It's still so velvety soft. I put it on every once in a while, but it's kind of hard to get over my thighs.
Well, the good news is it stretches out, right?
Yeah. So now it's up to you to decide who makes it to the Elite Eight, the Macarena or Juicy Couture.
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
The face of the American heavyweights.
Pretty good power move there.
There can be only one champion. And now we join Anna and Raven's coverage of the March Madness tournament.
It's close online on Instagram. Huh. Really close. All right, March Madness. While everybody's watching basketball, you are crowning the biggest fad of all time. You can see the full bracket, all 16 contenders at annaandraven.com. Today's matchup is the Macarena. Hey, Macarena. I think everybody did the hip swivel different. Like, some people really got down in their knees, and then other people, like, stood, and they were kind of robotic when they did it. But everybody knew that you had to make your hips go in a circle.
Inevitably, there was somebody screwing up the arm folding thing every single time.
Yeah.
Right? There's one person that's like, I thought we were going left.
Yes.
Right. There's always that person.
Up against the Macarena for the biggest bout of all time today, it's Juicy Couture. Here's Paris Hilton talking about it.
in 2000, I was, you know, a New York socialite. I was modeling. I was doing my thing. I just fell in love with the brand and basically became my uniform. I have an entire closet that's only Juicy Couture. It's where I go in every single day and just put on my juice.
She just puts on her juice.
Oh, I put on a lot of my juice when I was younger, too. I loved those tracksuits so much.
An entire closet just dedicated to Juicy Couture.
When J-Lo came out with Hustler, the movie, and she wore that jumpsuit, I said, oh, it's back. Let's go. And then it wasn't back, and I was so sad about it, you know? All right, so on Instagram right now, you can vote at Anna and Raven. The Macarena is leading with 54% to Juicy Couture's 46%. On the text line, it looks like the Macarena has a bigger edge, but let's go to calls. 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven, what's it going to be?
Absolutely the Macarena.
The Macarena. You're ready to do that dance this afternoon. As soon as I fired it up, you were like, wait,
yes.
Give me the long version. Let's go.
Yep, I was dancing in the car.
I've been to a wedding or two before where they'll play that, and they'll play like a seriously 10-minute version of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Inagata DeVita of the Macarena.
Because it still gets everybody going, no matter what. Like, they've tried to cook. They tried with the cha-cha slide.
Mm-hmm.
They tried with all these other things. But nothing has the staying power of the Macarena.
Anna and Raven, March Madness. Is it going to be the Macarena or Juicy Couture that moves on?
Justin, definitely the Macarena.
Oh, no question
love
about
the
it.
Macarena.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have the Macarena skills? Could you do it right now?
I couldn't do it back then.
Oh, okay. Right, but it was still fun anyways. Right, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
Yeah.
I just love the song.
Yeah, just makes people happy, I guess. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's it going to be, the Macarena or Juicy Couture?
I wish there could be a double elimination. They're both horrible.
Oh, my.
But I never liked stuff written on people's butts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with the Macarena.
That's the defining rule there.
They're both horrible.
Horrible. But get your words off my butt. Okay, I understand.
I'm going to very much disagree and say they're both fantastic. I do have to say, though, it was weird that we were writing Juicy on our butts for years.
And Ann Raven, March Madness, is it the Macarena or Juicy Couture moving on?
I'd say Macarena because Juicy Couture is only for girls. Macarena for everybody.
I mean, Juicy Couture was for everyone.
Listen, I'm not going to tell you whether to identify or not identify with Juicy Couture, but I would say that,
What guy wore Juicy Couture? What guy wore that?
Perez Hilton, putting it out there right now.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think it's going to be, Macarena or Juicy Couture?
Macarena.
Looks like overwhelmingly the Macarena is going to make it to the Elite Eight. We'll have another matchup tomorrow, and if you want to see the complete bracket for March Madness, head to AnnaandRaven.com.
Two hosts, multiple clues, only one right answer. It's time to play Heads Up with Anna and Raven.
Hi, Linda. Today we're playing Heads Up for a free tank of gas. That sounds pretty good, right? Gas is really expensive right now.
Oh, yes, it is.
This is an easy game to play. So first you've got to decide who's going to give you the clues. Do you want it to be Anna or me?
Anna, please.
Okay, I mean, it might be a good choice. She's really actually better at this game.
Don't try to get out of it. All right, so Linda, today's subject is animal noises, which means I'm going to be making animal noises. If you can correctly identify five of them in 60 seconds, you're going to win this tank of gas. Are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, let me get my animal noise voice ready. All right, let's go.
Go.
A rooster.
Okay, yes. Nay. Nay.
Horse.
Okay.
Donkey.
Yes.
Donkey.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Owl.
Yes. Last one.
That one could be confusing.
A bee.
No.
A hornet?
No.
A wasp?
Pass. Gobble, 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 gobble. Please don't eat me. Gobble, 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 gobble.
Turkey.
Yes, turkey. That's it. Woo!
I mean, I don't know. You made the turkey talk. I thought that was against the rules, but you know what? We're going to hook you up, Linda, all right? Enjoy that free tank of gas.
Thank you so much.
That was mosquito. Oh. Gosh, that was so good. Why am I dizzy?
Mosquito.
I'm dizzy. All right, Linda, enjoy that gas. I think I'm just going to suck it up and just gonna, we're going to call him in a few minutes, Raven, and ask him point blank because I can't stop thinking about it. All right. So do you work with your significant other, like the same company? Are you both still working from home, or somehow you have to survive your life by working with the person that you love the most?
Mm.
What are the pros and cons? 1-800-330-9999. So my husband and I have never actually had to work together, right? For the most part, like sometimes at my parents' restaurants, if we were working the same shifts when we were younger,
sure,
that was one thing. But when I had my knee surgery, I had to broadcast from home for about 6 weeks, and it was the first time, and he's still working from home from the pandemic, they haven't gone back yet, his company, and it was the first time that we actually had to do it side by side. He's in our bedroom, I'm in the family room, and it was a strange dynamic because it was nice to have each other there.
Like, sure.
He would come bring me food.
To be near.
And, yeah, and it was nice to have breakfast served every day and all that kind of stuff.
I'm sure that was nice, yes. I was very jealous.
But, like, you start getting nitpicky. Like, he would come in and he'd be like, well, did you see on the news this happened? Why aren't you talking about it? And I'd be like, I don't tell you how to do your job. But then here's the problem.
You kind of did at times, right?
So when I had to go into our bedroom, I would stand outside our door. And I would listen to, like, to make sure he wasn't on a Zoom or he wasn't on a call.
Sure.
And a lot of times he would be. And he's in a position where a lot of times he has to speak to a lot of people.
He's a boss.
Yeah. And I would go in and I would start, like, critiquing the way he speaks. Like, I was a public speaking professor. Like, this is what I do for a living. So I would go in and be like, you know, I don't know who you were talking to, but there was a lot of fillers in there, you know, like. Like, you got to, like, slow down, see, get rid of the ums.
This is the difference. I mean, you guys were working near to each other, but you weren't working side by side, hand in hand. Because, I mean, I think that that's a more challenging thing for a lot of people. I mean, I just accept that me and my wife, we don't work well together in certain situations.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to call him and ask him if it's annoying or helpful. Because I thought I was being helpful.
Oh, I'm sure.
In retrospect, maybe not. But what do you think? Do you work with your significant other? What are the pros and cons? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
Oh yeah, it can definitely be a problem. So my husband and I own a deli together, and it's a great business, but one of us always has to be there, and with the kids and everything, we're always on opposite schedules. So like if I go in, for example, from like 6 a.m to noon, then he'll come in at noon and stay till close. We really don't get to see each other very much as a result, so it's very stressful.
I grew up in one of those households, you know, like my dad was never around. He was always working at the business. And a lot of times they were both working. So I'd be at my grandparents' house. It's tough.
Mm.
But, you know, what are you going to do? It is what it is. It kept us dressed. It kept us fed. It kept us healthy. And it got us going.
Yeah, it's not ideal. But yeah. You do what you do because you have to survive.
What are the pros and cons of working with your significant other? 1-800-330-9999. For the first time in my life, my husband and I were working together because when I had my knee surgery, I was broadcasting from home for 6 weeks.
Hmm.
And I got into the habit of, like, I would, like, have my ear outside the door of the bedroom where he does his work. And I would listen in on his meetings like a crazy person, usually because I was waiting for the appropriate time to walk into our bedroom.
Sure.
But then I would, like, give him pointers on when he was giving meetings and presentations on ways that he could phrase things. I mean, like, I was a public speaking professor for a long time. Like it's like in my blood.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it bothers him.
How do you feel when somebody tells you that you said something wrong on the radio?
Well,
How's that?
I like constructive criticism.
Oh, yeah, you do. Huh?
I thrive on it.
Yeah.
Which is why I was wondering if he does. And it's like bothering me because every time I bring it up to him, he's just very quiet. So I figured I would ask him point blank about what he thought about working with me. Paul?
Hello.
Hi, it's me.
Yeah.
Raven's here too.
What up?
I just have a quick question for you. When I was working from home, did you like working from home with me, or did you think it was annoying?
I thought it was annoying.
Why?
Because it was like you had to like barricade yourself in one of our rooms in our house, and I had to make sure that kids stayed quiet, and it was annoying while I was also trying to work.
I mean, it was really nice that you would bring breakfast every day. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the pros for me.
I wasn't using that as an annoying fact. I was just using the annoying fact of, you know, trying to keep, you know, toddler quiet while we brought back from home.
The isolation is the hard part.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have a job that you have to remain quiet. Like if you were in there doing clown zooms or something ridiculous like that where people could bust in with noise, it wouldn't be a big deal.
She only came in one time.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it was like right in the middle of a live break.
We
were just live. She just came right on in. hey, Maddie. Like, it was nothing. And at that point, Paul had had it, and he didn't even care. He was like, destroy your career with our toddler. It's fine.
As you hear in the background running around right now, yeah.
Do you like when I critique, like, your speaking style on your Zooms, or do you think it's annoying?
I actually kind of found it annoying.
I knew you would. I knew it. I knew it.
Working together, not always a dream.
Yeah. All right. I love you. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
One of the problems that I have when my wife and I work together, when we do events together or something like that, is we both have a very clear vision about what we want to do, and we don't communicate it to each other.
Yeah.
Makes it difficult. At the end, it all works out, but we just don't communicate well when we're doing it.
Sorry, babe. I won't critique your speaking anymore. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. You work with your significant other?
Pros is that I get to see my husband more often, and the con is that he's my boss.
Oh my gosh. So does he actually like discipline you or tell you when you're doing something wrong, and do you yell back or do you have to take it?
I just kind of take it because the deal is that he's the boss at work and I'm the boss at home.
Right. Deal.
Okay. That's the trade-off. I understand.
He's like, wait a minute, we're having cereal for dinner? You're like, yup.
Yeah.
Got a problem with that?
My wife and I. That's the struggle everywhere we go.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are the pros and cons of working with your significant other?
Hi, we work together. We have two businesses in one building. So I kind of run one and he runs the other. But when I need him to help me out, if someone's ordering something that I'm not sure of, he does all that. So we just love working together. I go in a little later and we leave at the same time. We come home together and we've been doing it for years and we love it. I can't imagine working with anyone else.
Here we go. Two businesses, though. Two rooms,
right.
I'm guessing. Right. So you can separate a little bit
rooms,
when you want to.
It's all connected.
I mean, I think even that little bit of separation can make a difference at times.
Yeah. On our text line, the pro of working together is that you see them every day. The con is that you see them every day.
Yes. I think that's an easy one.
Yes,
to
I get
you,
it.
You can relate to that, right?
Yep.
I mean, too much of anything is never a good thing, usually.
Yeah. For 6 weeks after I had my knee surgery, I was broadcasting from home. It was the first time my husband and I had to work side by side. He was in our bedroom. I was in our family room. And there was definitely a lot of pros and cons that went along with it. But I think he was really happy to see me come back to the studio. Like, he couldn't wait to get me out. I was surprised by it.
As soon as he knew you could drive.
Yeah.
See ya.
Have fun.
You're on your own now.
1-800-330-9999. If you work with your significant other, what are the pros and cons?
Hi. So we work together almost every day. I would say that the pros are definitely being able to spend time with each other. But then the cons are also not being able to spend enough time with each other. We tend to have to wait until after 10 o'clock to kind of be able to set up any time of type together. Because we do have children, and a lot of our time is running back and forth. We just do that 7 days a week.
The hard part about that is, right, there's always a box to check. There's always something
that has to be done.
Every
time.
And you get into the business of the relationship instead of the relationship.
And we have two kids, and they're very different ages, so we're constantly just being pulled in two different directions. Sometimes we'll bring our issues from home into work, which isn't necessarily always great.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, I mean, for the most part, the days that we do look forward to seeing each other, those are the best days to work together, because then it's like you have a member of your team, like, right next to you.
Right.
And Ann Raven, pros and cons of working together with your partner.
I'm mostly pros. My husband and I have worked for the same company for 22 years. Been working from home for maybe 11 or 12 years together, and we love it.
What's the number one thing, though, about having him there every day?
Yeah, just always being together. Like, we actually, when one of us isn't there, we're, like, lonely almost. Sometimes we're on conference calls together, and we can, like, hear each other echoing from our offices. But other than that, I don't have any complaints.
Right, so better insulated walls for sound. But other than that.
Yeah, right.
Hi, Anna and Raven. Pros and cons of working with your significant other.
Coming from me, my boyfriend, he always asks me, hey, babe, do you want any Starbucks? Do you want anything to eat? Are you hungry? And majority of the time, I am hungry. All the time. I'm like, yeah, can you please pick me up some Starbucks? Like a little snack on, because sometimes, like, I do get hangry. And he knows I get hangry. And he always checks up on me, like that's the pros and cons.
It's a pro when you want a bagel. It's a con when we get on the scale. I get it. It's a lot like morning radio.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Brandon and Casey. Casey, what's going on?
So
So my daughter and I, we carpool with some of her friends, and we pick up her friends from school every day and bring, you know, we bring them back and forth from school. And it's not a big deal. It's like a couple of minutes out of the way, a couple of miles out of the way. But Brandon is saying that I should ask my daughter's friend's parents for gas money now because gas is like so expensive. And I just feel like I don't feel comfortable doing that. Who asked their kids' friends' parents for money, for gas money? Like, I just feel like that's kind of obnoxious. It's not a big deal to me. I just feel like, you know, it's just a little favor that we can do for our friends.
Brandon, are you friends with these parents?
Yeah, totally. But I'm also not their bank. I mean, at what point does this, I mean, this gap, it could be at eight bucks in a month. And at some point, it's going to reach an unsustainable level as far as us being able to gift their kid a ride to school. Like, they never drive. They never take our kid to school. So it's just a one way deal.
Have they ever offered in the past? I mean, something like this, I can remember riding with friends to school, and this had gone on for years and years and years. And I really wouldn't have much of a problem with it if, you know, for years you've been doing this for, you know, no cost whatsoever. And right now costs are exorbitant. So you ask for a little something. I mean, I don't think that's the end of the world. Have they ever offered?
No,
they haven't.
It's an interesting conversation because I feel like when you're in high school and you first get your license, like giving each other gas money was commonplace
yes,
back then.
100%. I used to give the guy who gave me a ride gas money every week.
I can't think
of it. We lived like right next to each other. What was I doing?
Right. And now it's like, when's the last time you asked somebody for gas money? But maybe now is the time. All right. Whose side are you on? Maybe you agree with Brandon. It's no big deal. If you're driving their child to school every single day, what's the big deal? And be like, hey, you want to throw me a few dollars for gas? You may see Casey's side, too. It's embarrassing. You've been driving her all school year. Now you're going to ask for money?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Just thinking about this conversation makes me uncomfortable. Brandon and Casey, you know, gas is expensive. Sure. So Casey drives one of their children's friends to school every single day. Drives her there, picks her up, drives her home. It's a few miles from their house. And Brandon says, you know, the parents have never once offered to give us gas money. And I don't think there's anything wrong, Casey, with you just saying to them, hey, can we have a few bucks for gas? I drive your kid to school every single day.
Yeah, I think this is a difference of perspective, right? Some people are very timid to mention something like that, especially when it comes to money in a relationship, whereas other people are not. You know, it doesn't seem like a subject that Brandon is worried about breaching. He says, listen, we're all friends here. Gas is expensive. Just ask him for a few bucks.
Casey says no. Yeah. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on the moms. You can't, if she's been doing it all year and you're going to the same school anyway, like what? I don't know. I don't see the big deal.
I mean, the school is the destination. She did say it's a couple miles out of her way. I mean, it's not that they're not just slowing down and picking up this other child on their way in there. I mean, she is going a couple miles out of her way.
Like, I understand everything you're saying, Raven, but I agree. Like, I would never, ever do it. I would just be too embarrassed, and I would just feel like, oh, my gosh, like, what a ridiculous thing to ask for. Should they offer? Of course they should. But you're not in their shoes. You're in your shoes. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Every day, Casey drives one of her daughter's friends to school, picks her up a couple miles out of the way, brings her home later on in the day. Brandon thinks that gas is so expensive right now that Casey should ask for gas money to drive the child.
Listen, you're not talking about the neighbor's kid. You're talking about somebody that's a couple miles out of the way. And it's been going on for a while. It's not just even this year. So that money adds up. At least Brandon thinks they should ask for a portion of it. Casey says, no way, I'm embarrassed.
Which I agree with. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Would you ask for gas money? Whose side are you on? Hi, Anna and Raven.
I'm siding with Brandon on this one. I think that it's kind of nervy for the parents to not even have offered gas money. And I don't think it's out of the question for people to to pitch in a little. You know, if the other parents were giving a ride one way too, then, you know, that's kind of mutual. But it seems that all are on their family. So I think that it's only fair to ask.
You know, I think that if you've got kids that are friends, right, inherently you're doing a bunch of different activities together. So I would think, Anna, a lot of times it's going to come out in the wash, right?
Right.
If I'm taking care of this thing, they probably take care of something other, you know, other times. But if they don't, well, I mean, all right.
Right. Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side on this one here. It's an unusual situation, and it's been happening right along. I think it would be really tacky and in poor taste to say, hey, throw me some money. I think you have to wait for the people to say, here's $20. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. I'm on her side.
I mean, I would just think that if my daughter was getting picked up every day and getting free rides, I would offer. But again, I 100% agree with what she just said and what Casey's saying. I'm embarrassed. I would never ask. Like, it feels funny.
Yeah, but that's the very definition of being taken advantage of. If you don't ask because you feel embarrassed, right? Because then you've developed your own feelings about it, and you never really expressed them.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi, Anna and Raven. I'm on the wife's side. I think that you should just, if you're going that way, you can help out a friend, a neighbor. You don't know their situation financially. Most people don't tell you if they're struggling financially. So I think for the sake of the friendship, and it's been doing it for so long, you should just keep it quiet. Keep it on the down low. The golden rule.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Casey, our audience agreed with you. It's just, at this point, if they offer, yes, sure, take it if you feel comfortable. But to approach them about it seems very nitpicky and awkward.
Yes, that's what I say. Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, guys.
I would just, you know, see what kind of chores this 8-year-old was comfortable doing when they're out hanging over right. My house, right? I'd put them to work. Brandon, I'm sorry you didn't get the votes today.
No, I'm just disappointed. Look, I'll be the one to have the conversation, Case, if you don't want to do it. I'll tell them straight up. But whatever, no. If the audience picked that, then that's fine.
Yeah. All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Shannon, you ready to play?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, $3,100 on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, good luck.
Okay. All right. Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Bring Raven back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Let's do this, Shannon. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Number one, Disney Plus is going to be releasing a sing-along version of their movies, beginning with Encanto this Friday. And then later this year, there's going to be Frozen and Frozen 2. What is the name of the kingdom that Anna and Elsa are from?
Arendelle.
Number two, a Hollywood writer-producer says the reason TV actors don't usually have cats is because they're not easy to train and they're not easy to, like, keep them contained. What's the name of the Simpsons cat?
Oh.
Time's up.
I don't know.
That's okay.
I don't know.
That's okay. Number three, the Shrek spinoff Puss in Boots is getting a sequel this fall. Salma Hayek and the actor that voices Puss in Boots are both returning. Who voices Puss in Boots?
Antonio Banderas.
Number four, a lot of people never realized that in the movie Forrest Gump, one of the kids on the bus that wouldn't allow Forrest to sit next to her was played by Tom Hanks' real daughter. In the beginning of the movie, a white feather floats down from the sky. Forrest picks up the feather, opens up his briefcase, and puts it inside what children's book?
Oh, I've seen that movie thousands of times. I don't remember the name.
That's okay. That's all right. Yeah. Number five, the U.S. Senate approved a bill to make daylight savings time permanent yesterday. What 2 U.S. states do not practice daylight savings time? Saving time. Singular. I always forget that.
Practice it currently?
Yeah, they don't practice it.
Let me just take a shot in the dark. Florida and Tennessee.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. That's all right, Shannon. They were hard questions, you know?
Yo. Those were very hard.
Yeah.
I'm like pop culture. Like, yeah. Oh, wow, those are hard.
Yeah, 2 out of 5.
Okay. Not too good. Let's see how I do. It sounds like they might have been tricky.
Number one, Disney Plus is going to be releasing sing-along versions of their movies, beginning with Encanto this Friday.
Mm.
Later this year, there will be Frozen and Frozen 2. What is the name of the kingdom that Anna and Elsa are from?
They're from Arendelle.
Yes. Number two, a Hollywood writer says the reason why TV characters don't usually have cats is because it's not easy to train cats. What's the name of the Simpsons cat?
Simpsons cat is Snowball.
Snowball is right. You guys are tied. There's multiple cats named Snowball.
Is it that there's multiple or is like one died and then they just replace it with another Snowball?
Yeah, they just keep naming him Snowball.
Yeah.
Number three, the Shrek spinoff Puss in Boots is getting a sequel this fall. Salma Hayek and the actor that voices Puss in Boots are both returning. Who voices Puss in Boots?
Antonio Banderas.
Yes. Number four, a lot of people never realize that in the movie Forrest Gump, one of the kids on the bus that wouldn't allow Forrest to sit next to her was played by Tom Hanks' real daughter.
Mm.
In the beginning of the movie, a white feather floats down from the sky. Forrest picks up that feather, opens his briefcase, and puts it inside what children's book?
I'm just going to take a guess and say, oh, the places we'll go.
No, Curious George.
Okay.
Number five, the U.S.
Yes,
Senate
now
approved...
I remember that.
Yep. The U.S. Senate approved a bill to make daylight saving time permanent yesterday. What two U.S. states do not practice daylight saving time?
Shot in the dark here. Arizona and New Hampshire.
Arizona and Hawaii.
Dang it.
Yeah. Shannon, he beat you 3-2 today. That gets you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, my Shannon, I can't beat Raven. Thank you.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $3,200 tomorrow.
And a special thank you to Tonijo, who submitted one of the questions that I used today. If you have an idea for a question, too, you can submit it at annaandraven.com.